Austin 316 says I just whipped your... there and call yourself the gorilla, yet you hee-haw out here like a jackass.
What?
I said shut up. You can kiss my ass.
Kumbaya, my lord. Kumbaya.
What?
And that's the bottom line, cause Stone Cold sets up.
Welcome back to the Bottom Line Wrestling Cast, the career of Stone Cold Steve Austin. This week we're bringing you episode 80, Why Stone Cold Why? We are covering April 2001, the night after WrestleMania X7 and onward for a couple of weeks. So that's what we got here this week. I'm Mike Prue along with JV. JV, how's it going?
Going well, man. You know, we're post-WrestleMania 17. What you and I think kind of agree was like the tippity top of the mountain for WWE. So it's going to be interesting to see where we go from here.
Yeah, we're going to stop making
it. Do you remember much from this time?
No, not really. Because this was my tail end of the senior year. So it's April, a couple months left in school, and then the summer going into college. So yeah, wrestling started to take a back seat just because of other things of importance coming up at that time. Also working too,
Yep, same here.
Part time. So yeah, so a lot of this, I'd poke in every once in a while, check out, you know, what was kind of going on. Not really, you know, just to kind of keep familiar with it, but never really truly following the storylines or looking things up or anything like that. Not really giving too much of a shit, other than just, let me see what's going on in wrestling and then change the channel.
Yeah, wow. I had two jobs at this point. So I was working at the New England Poultry.
Yep.
And then I was working my co-op job because this is my junior year heading to my senior year. And I just got my co-op job over at L&P Graphics, actually.
And you worked there for a couple of years too, right?
No. I worked there for that summer into the first half of my senior year. Then I kind of got tired working there and I was complaining to, I forget what the vocational coordinator was. But they ended up getting me a different job at, it was Trossick, getting me a different job over at Graphics Plus.
That's right.
Because the guy that ran L&P Graphics was a fucking nutbag. But anyhow, so most of this time, I remember this happening and I remember watching this at, you know, where we always watched our wrestling pay-per-views at my dad's friend's house. And I was older then. I've been watching pay-per-views there for over 10 years. You know what I mean?
Right.
And, just thinking I got work and stuff. Like, wrestling kind of took a back seat after WrestleMania 17. I was still in and out, but I wasn't as, you know, invested into the Austin heel turn, which we're going to cover today, as I was the rise of Stone Cold Steve Austin from 96 up through 2000 and, first quarter of 2001.
Right. So, same boat as me, both in and out of it, popping in every once in a while. During this school year, the school year part of it before the summer, some of those things I was paying attention to a little bit, but yeah, for the most part, it's stuff that I don't really remember. Some things do stand out eventually. The What comes out in summer, so that played a big role. You know, people talked about that, so that was something that you can't miss if you turn wrestling on because it just what all the time. So there was that, and then by the time the school year started for my freshman year of college, and I was out of it, and I didn't know what was going on. So basically 2002 is my, missing year. 2002, 2003, and 04, those are the years that I didn't really watch at all, so I don't know much of what happened at all during that time. And over the past couple of years, I've been watching Raw and SmackDown in the pay-per-views, starting with 02, and I'm currently into somewhere in 03. It's been a while since I've been watching some of them, but every once in a while when I get some time, I go back and figure out where I left off and watch some more because those are my missing wrestling years, 02, 03, 04. And then finally in 05, I go back into it again. Kind of followed along ever since. So, Well, history of our wrestling fandom and yeah. tail end.
Look at that.
And like you said, to kick off this portion of this conversation is that WrestleMania 17 is kind of where it went downhill for WWE, WWF at the time, and for us as wrestling fans.
Yes, yes.
But we're here
to... I will say, not to cut you off again, but I did.
Yeah.
I'm impressed with what we're about to cover today and how fucking awesome Stone Cold is as a heel, though.
I agree.
Like, I'm like, damn, I missed this? Like, why didn't I invest in this? Like, I don't know. It's weird.
Like, yeah, it's almost like we just, when we saw WrestleMania 17, we didn't fully like it, so we kind of tuned ourselves off rather quickly and yeah. didn't really pay attention to it anymore and
yeah.
to how good it was, actually. And I also think it's a fact of just being a wrestling fan for all these years that have gone by and then reading into what people have said, and so many people are shitty on the heel turn.
Yeah.
That you just assume it sucked. And, hey, these 2 weeks that we're covering this week, they don't suck. They're pretty damn good. And Austin is convincing as a heel. It's not like, and we'll get into it, but the fans aren't really cheering for him. That whole thing is out the window. It wasn't that the fans just kept cheering for him. That's almost like WWE revisionist history. If you watch their documentaries, they'll say that it didn't work and that the fans were always going to chant for Austin. No, the fans were pretty pissed.
No, yeah, they were not happy. They were not happy.
Oh, so we'll get into that. And I thought you were going to think the same thing. I was like, JV probably loves this too, just like I'm loving this as I'm taking the notes and watching and preparing for this episode.
And you know, another thing I was thinking about earlier today, I was like, all right, so like, why didn't I watch this? Like, I know I had to work. I watched it, but I didn't like sit and watch Raw like I was for, you know, the 5 years prior, you know, from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock or 9 to 11, whatever that slot was, like minute for minute. And I think some of it also had to do with, like, as Boston sports fan, that's kind of when, like, you know, I think the Bruins are really good at that time. Not that I watched much Bruins, but that summer, you know, that's when the Red Sox started to get like really interesting as a team.
Right.
And then from like 01, I think they placed like second in the East. They might have made the playoffs. They were out in the divisional round. I forget, but the Red Sox started getting really good then. Then, you know, the Patriots obviously take a turn from here on out. So I don't know. I just think other things in life just kind of took me a little bit away from wrestling, and I kind of wish it hadn't, so far at least.
Right. And you always watch the Celtics regardless of whether or not they were good. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that doesn't matter. I was watching the Celtics on my fucking 1988. I was like 4 or 5 years old. I had a turn dial black and white television, and it was like one of the only channels I could get late at night was the fucking Celtics. Believe it or not, they were on WBH. But anyhow, back to wrestling here.
All right.
Talk about the Celtics forever.
So we're going to get into this, the heart of the episode, in just a moment. But before we do, you can follow us on Twitter at BottomLineCast. And you can follow me, Mike Pru, at MPRU83. And follow JV at John Van Damage. Also, check out our YouTube channel and our Facebook group, BottomLine Wrestling Cast. Please go ahead and join that group and share what you like about Stone Cold, and also share what you like about ECW, because we also do the Extreme ECW live cast on the Book in the Territory Patreon $5 tier, patreon.com/bookintheterritory. And also, we have some t-shirts for sale and fanny packs and all the different goodies that you could go get at teespring.com/bottom-line-wrestling-cast. That's teespring.com. Search Bottom Line Wrestling Cast there. And hope you guys enjoyed last week's episode WrestleMania 17, but also hope you checked out our watch along episode. So if you haven't checked that out, go back. That's available. And JV and I watched along with the match and gave extra commentary. So check that out if you haven't done it already. One more thing before we get started, really. And I did mention, you know, a lot of people like to shit on Austin heel turn. So I thought, all right, well, let's see what people think, really. So I put it out there on Twitter. I put a poll. Whether or not what people thought of at the time, not what they thought of what came of the heel turn, but when Austin turned at WrestleMania, what was their initial thought when they first watched it? Okay, whether they watched it at the time or whether they first watched it this year, whenever it was their first time, what was their instant reaction? So I put the choices of, oh hell yeah, oh hell meh, and oh hell no. And the winner was, oh, hell yeah. Most people liked it. they were down with Austin joining McMahon and beating the fuck out of The Rock with the steel chair. They thought that was an oh hell yeah moment. Not oh hell no. So, just figured I'd share that. I wanted to get a pulse of what some people on Twitter thought. But we do have a history with Twitter where people just fucking put the opposite of what they really mean.
Whatever the fuck, yeah. Twitter's interesting. The social media in general is just weird. Yeah. It's like, you remember the game of telephone? Someone says one thing and it grows out and it gets exaggerated.
Right.
It's like social media is that platform come to like life.
Oh my God.
It's like that telephone scenario, like exponentially larger.
Yeah, because you put something out there and people just run with it and they change it. Yeah. Oh yeah. And it's worse.
They add a word.
Because you can't even trace it back to where it started.
No, you can't.
All right, so let's get into it now. We're going to kick off with Raw 410 from April 2nd, 2001, so very day after WrestleMania 17. It's live from Fort Worth, Texas, and it kicks off with Mr. McMahon strutting his stuff, cutting a promo. He goes out to the ring. He says he has the privilege to hand the WWF Championship to Stone Cold Steve Austin later tonight. Once he arrives, he will give him the title. And then Vince brings up one of JR's call from WrestleMania. And it's right at the end of the show when Stone Cold and Vince McMahon shake hands with each other. And JR says, he's shaking hands with Satan himself. I think he says the devil himself, but Vince McMahon in this says Satan. Not important. But Vince asked JR also, did you call Stone Cold an SOB? JR's like, hell no, I didn't. Then Vince questions him again and says, did you say Austin sold his soul to the devil himself? And JR was like, you're damn right I did. You're damn right. So Vince mentions the fact that also that the Texas crowd was supportive of Austin. And I like how he brings this up because it was noticeable that the fans were cheering for him to become the champion, even though he just turned heel and kicked the shit out of The Rock and shook hands with Vince McMahon. The crowd is still cheering. So Vince McMahon uses that and says, you know, the Texas crowd supported him last night. You know, how come you guys aren't supporting? How come you guys are booing now? Because the crowd is booing. So that's kind of strange. You know, just a night later, it's like it sunk in. Like, ah, fuck. Stone Cold's a heel now. Fuck off. we don't like that. So he says, there's no denying that you cheered, your fellow Texans cheered last night. So what's happening now? And also, didn't mention, but Vince comes out to the ring with a gift, like a gift box. And at this point, he says that some people from Texas, they sent this to him, and he's going to open up this present right now in front of everybody, and it's a cowboy hat. Vince puts on the white cowboy hat, and Vince begins to strut around the ring doing his thing, his little asshole strut that he does. He goes, yeah, yeah, hell, I'm a real Texan now. Yeah, I can.
This is funny.
It is. I thought it was funny. And he keeps using yeah at the beginning of all his sentences.
Yeah.
Say, like, yeah, I can step in some cow crap. Yeah, I lick the chew tobacco. Yeah, I got some red down the back of my neck down here. And he's just really fucking hamming it up. And then he takes the hat off. He puts it down. He's like, this is what I really think of Texas. Then he just stomps on the hat. And The Rock comes out, so The Rock music hits, and The Rock basically just demands a title shot. Says, I demand it tonight right here in Texas. And Vince McMahon's like, you're not going to get a match. Doesn't matter what the crowd says. I'm not going to give you a match. If you come down here, you better not lay a finger on me. So The Rock grabs the mic from Vince. He says, The Rock will give you one more chance to change your mind. Vince is like, I'm warning you, if you lay a hand on me, Rock doesn't even let him finish the sentence and just knocks him down to the ground and immediately just puts the sharpshooter on Vince. And Vince is just tapping, you got a match, you got the damn match. And then The Rock's like, let everybody hear it. And he puts the mic to Vince McMahon's mouth. He's like, yes, damn it, yes. So The Rock's all happy. He walks back up the ramp. But the moment Rock gets to the top of the ramp, Vince grabs the mic again. He says, you're going to get your match. But you're going to get it in a steel cage. And my first thought was, why? What? Yeah, <no. laughs> Like, what's the point? What's the point there?
Even like, The Rock's looking like, huh?
Is, right. I mean, I don't get it, because if it's in a steel cage, what is that? How does that help Austin? You know what I mean? Because you want it to be a situation where there could be interference so that Austin can retain. Or even a DQ. DQ situation so that Austin keeps the title. But he puts it in a cage where it's like, alright, there's not going to be interference. And The Rock could just beat Austin and be the champion again. I just thought that was a weird choice of a stipulation. I guess it was supposed to just hype up the crowd and be like, holy shit, there's going to be a steel cage match tonight! That could be my only guess of why they went with that. It's just for the crowd, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Alright, so we move on from there, and Mr. McMahon's going to come out again at the end of this first hour of Raw, and he's going to present the belt. So McMahon comes out, crowd boos for him, he doesn't appreciate it. Vince says he's confused because last night Stone Cold won the title and everybody was cheering. They pan to the crowd, you see signs, why Stone Cold, why? Sellout 316. So you start to see a lot of signs that show that people aren't happy with Stone Cold. Some people would probably say, oh, those signs are planted.
Yeah. Conspiracy, all the tinfoil hats are out.
That's such a thing with our society, is that nobody could ever just take things the way that they are for what they are. It's always going to be, oh, no, they're trying to pull one over on us.
Yeah. I mean, they want to feel interesting and important when they right. talk to people. It's like, oh, who are your sources? Right. Because, you know, Dark Matter 673 on YouTube. Fuck out of here.
I guess that's more for reality is what I'm saying. But, you know, in wrestling, obviously they are trying to pull one over on you because that's part of the whole business. It's to try to get over on you, basically, and fool you.
It's a show. It's right. fiction.
Exactly. So it is possible that the signs could be planted, but come on. You think they really have the... like? Shit, I'm kind of like backing myself into a corner here, but do you really think that the production team is going to make a bunch of signs and hand them out to people?
Not in 2001. Maybe nowadays, because there's not as many signs in the crowd. Yeah. But in 2001, during this time, everyone was they were confiscating signs. I don't think they would plant signs.
Right. I would think they would be taking signs.
Yeah. I think I would have heard about that more.
Right. How could you get away with it? Like, I mean, maybe they could get away with it because there wasn't as much, you know,
obviously. I don't know, because then they got to pick a fan that's actually going to use the sign, that's going to be in a camera angle where people will see it. Like, right. I don't buy it.
Yeah. I don't either.
And that would probably piss off the wrestlers. It's like, well...
I think it would piss off the fans too to be like, I don't want this fucking sign.
Yeah. They tried giving me the sign to hold. I'd be like, no, I'm definitely not.
All right. So those signs are up there and they're not favorable to Austin. And there's going to be many more too to come. McMahon does his basic routine. He says, Austin, you know, Austin did nothing. None of you don't do on a daily basis. He said this, I think a couple of years ago, he did this whole routine. He did nothing you don't do on a daily basis, and that's you suck up to your boss. You kiss your boss's ass. And I love Heyman on commentary. I would kiss my boss's ass.
Oh, yeah.
It's not about kissing your boss's ass either. It's about finding a way to work with them and have a working relationship. That's how you have a better position in your business, whatever it is by learning how to work with your boss, not trying to be sneaky behind the back just because it's your boss. And that's funny because in wrestling, that's what wrestling has become, is that the wrestlers are always trying to fuck their bosses.
Yeah, I know.
That's always the goal now. I mean, how can I fuck over Stephanie McMahon or Triple H or obviously at this
time? Authority figures showed up on screen, you know, put themselves, you know, into the show and have never left.
No, they've never left. And it's always become the good guys are always against the authority figure.
Yeah, always against whoever's running the company.
Right.
Right. Is it that way right now?
Yeah. Still that way.
Who is it?
The authority figures?
They still are? Yeah, who are the authority figures on TV?
Actually, right? Yeah, I think maybe they've...
I think they're kind of away from it.
Yeah, right, they're a little. Yeah, they're a little bit away from it right now. Yeah. Yeah, because there's no authority figure that comes out and makes matches anymore at this point. Still
dog shit product they're putting out now, but that's for another podcast.
All right, so we move on now. Stone Cold Steve Austin is introduced as the new WWF champion. He comes on out, and that brings us to our first promo. So take a listen to that, and we'll be right back.
But you ain't got a... That's more like it. That's a Lone Star presentation. Thank you very much for that. Stone Cold, it gives me great personal and professional pride to present to you the only man in the World Wrestling Federation deserving to be the World Wrestling Federation champion. Stone Cold, you have won this right.
Now that I got what I wanted from WrestleMania, and now that I got Vince McMahon in this ring by myself.
Uh-oh.
If you want me to whip this sumbitch's ass, give me a hell yeah. I don't think he heard you. Give me a hell yeah. Well, it ain't gonna happen tonight. Like I'm supposed to grant your every single little wish. I'm supposed to let you people feed off of me, sponge off of me like a bunch of parasites. Am I supposed to continue to do that?
This.
And you know what? I look out here, and you people are just the same as the people in the airport and the little people at homes watching their little color TVs thinking, why, Stone Cold, why? You know, when I sit there and I said, hey, how about a big explanation and a real slow one for the people here in Texas about why I did what I did. But the way, shut up, you little bastard.
Man.
I'll let everybody out here know I can whip everybody in that stand's ass. Anyway, getting back to the explanation, the way I'll get to the Rock in just a second. The way I got it figured, I don't owe you no explanation. Basically, I got it figured, I don't owe you people a damn thing. And since you wanna chant Rocky, 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 I got something to say about that too. Rock, you come out here like some kind of big shot tough guy and put Vince McMahon, you little mealy mouthed bastard, you put Mr. McMahon in a sharpshooter in this very ring.
Mr. McMahon.
And that's something you just don't do. So tonight, Rock, when they drop that steel cage, don't figure on... Don't figure on Stone Cold being the champion for 24 hours. You can walk your little carcass out here, raise your eyebrow up as many times as you want. Stone Cold Steve Austin is going to bounce your little candy ass around that cage. Lay the smack down on you right in this very ring. And basically, that's all I got to say about that.
And that's the bottom line, because Mr. McMahon said so.
Well, Steve Austin called him Mr. McMahon.
I heard it.
I heard it too, and so did everybody at home. The temerity of this crowd to boo Stone Cold Steve Austin in his home state of Texas. I'm shocked and mortified. Texas sucks.
All right, so Austin makes his way out to the ring. He climbs the ropes as usual. The crowd is cheering at this point. You know, obviously, it's a Texas crowd here in Fort Worth, Texas. So they're pumped to see him. And that's the difference. When Vince McMahon comes out, they're booing. They boo what he has to say about Austin. But once they see Austin, they can't help but cheer for Stone Cold Steve Austin. So Austin, he had said, he wrote in his book, he said that, you know, if I can't piss off my home crowd, then how am I going to get any heat in Boston, Philadelphia the next week? Like, if these people are cheering for me, then I'm fucked. Then this heel turn is dead on arrival. So that's going to play into how he transitions throughout these early promos, these promos within these first couple of weeks of him being a heel. Such great work. But he has it on his mind right away, like, I can't let these people be cheering for me. So Vince makes the comment that, yeah, that's more like it. That's a Lone Star presentation. Thank you for that, because they're cheering for him. So it's almost like Vince being sarcastic. Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's like pissed about it. What the fuck? You're not supposed to be cheering. But he's going to make it sound like, yeah, that's what you should be doing. You should be cheering for him. So Vince is out there. He says, now that I got what I want from WrestleMania, this is Austin saying it, and Vince is looking a little scared because Austin just goes up to him and grabs the belt. So Vince is kind of like, what the fuck's going on here?
Yeah, what the fuck are you doing, buddy?
Yeah, so Austin says, now that I got what I want from WrestleMania, I got Vince McMahon in this ring by myself. If you want me to whip this sumbitch's ass, give me a hell yeah. I don't think he heard you. Give me a hell yeah. So the crowd goes nuts. And right there, they could have just changed course. And I bet that's what a lot of people wanted, too. Like, yeah, fine. Kick his ass. Yeah. Awesome.
They were definitely itching for that.
And then Austin just turns and says, well, it ain't going to happen tonight. And then that's when you start to hear the boos. They immediately like, boo, fuck off. And then he turns on him. He's like, I'm supposed to grant your every little wish. I'm supposed to let you feed off of me, sponge off of me like a bunch of parasites. Am I supposed to continue to do that? And then Austin says the crowd is like everybody at the airport and everybody at home watching their little TVs, and even makes like a little box with his fingers. And they're thinking, why, Stone Cold, why? So Austin says the people of Texas need a big explanation and a real slow explanation. And I thought that was great. Just saying, yeah, I got to say it to you nice and slow. You're a bunch of idiots. And it's his own home people, so he's really going to piss them off about why I did what I did. And then Austin, classic heel move, he just cuts off what he's saying to react to a fan in the crowd. So he turns to somebody in the crowd that said something that caught his attention. So he just turns right to him. He says, shut up, you little bastard.
Yeah.
And then the crowd starts booing. And then he continues on. He says, I'll whip everybody in that stand's ass. And if you're looking closely, if you take a look at Vince McMahon at this point, you can see he's like, yes. Because Vince McMahon was afraid that it wasn't going to work, but all it took was Austin just seconds to just turn it. And that's how fucking pro he is.
I like how he's like an old school, like, territory style heel.
Right, everything that he's doing to get heat is that old school approach.
Yeah, he's already like the best heel in the biz. So look at the heels we've had over the past few years leading up to that. You had Bret Hart, you had Kurt Angle, you had Triple H, you had The Rock, and I think this Stone Cold, at least what we've seen so far, and what he puts on and we're about to cover and throughout his promos, is better than any other heel since we've started covering.
Yeah, so those four that you brought up, Bret Hart and Stone Cold.
Yeah.
Be the best. Kurt Angle is good. He's just chicken shit type.
Yeah. And
nobody you take seriously.
Take away from The Rock, you know what I mean?
Yeah, The Rock too. Triple H. I don't know. Triple H is a heel for the sake of being the heel for the awesome baby faces.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, he's not generating real heat. Like, Stone Cold is because he's the top star as the heel. That's the same thing with when Bret Hart was the heel. He was still top guy. He was the top guy in the company, but he was a heel. It's tough to be the top guy and be a heel.
Yeah, it is.
Because you have to get the heat, you know, because the people want to like you, but you got to make them hate you instead.
People want to like the best guys, too.
Right?
Like, they want to in anything, in any sport, in entertainment. Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
they want to root for success.
Yeah, generally, at least when you're a kid, you do.
Right.
And then as you get older, you start to hate the people that get success.
Yeah, that's what I'm meaning to. It's like their core audience. That
right, their core audience. Yeah. Exactly.
Now, then you get older and you're like, anyone has success. You're like, fuck those people.
Yeah, right. Yeah, when you're young, you're hopeful that you can be like that one day. But when you're older, yeah, it's already past you and you're like, fuck, I'm never going to be that. And I hate anybody that is like that, that's younger than me.
Reality hits you. You're like, fuck, I'm underachieving. Yeah. Some bullshit.
Right.
Anyhow.
All right, so Austin's making it work. The crowd begins to chant for Rocky, so that's a good sign, too. Like, they're like, they want the good guy out here now. We want Rock back. Come on, Rocky. So he figured it out. Awesome. So Austin goes on from there. He says, I don't owe you a damn explanation, not a damn thing. Since you want to chant Rocky, I got something to say about that, too. Then the crowd chants even louder, so that's another little trick right there. Is to get heat is that you bring up what they're saying and they'll say it louder. You know, it's like 101 being a heel. So he's playing the audience like a fucking fiddle. It was just amazing to see it happening because
We
went into watching this thinking, oh, it's going to suck. And then it's like, oh shit, he's fucking awesome.
Like, yeah, he's amazing.
Right. That's exactly what he is. It's fucking amazing.
He's a badass. You're like, oh, just, he's like a badass heel.
Right.
He's a convinced, you know, like he's not a cowering heel.
He'll do that, but yeah, when he's on his own right now, he's a badass.
Yeah,
he'll play the part right later when we get to it. When, yeah,
and that's all I'm speaking to is just what we're covering here.
Yeah, right. So right now he's a badass motherfucker. So Austin tells The Rock that putting the sharpshooter on Vince McMahon is something you just don't do, and don't figure on Stone Cold being the champ for just 24 hours. You come out here, you raise your eyebrow as many times as you want. Stone Cold is going to beat your little candy ass around the ring, lay the smackdown on you, and basically that's all I got to say about that. So Austin then hands off the mic to Vince, and then Vince, to generate even more heat for people that love Austin, he steals the line and takes the line, and that's the bottom line. Because Mr. McMahon said so. And that really just goes up your ass because, you know, Austin would never want that to happen, but he's letting it happen now. And you're like, fuck, Stone Cold, don't let him talk like that. Fucking stun his ass. So it just gets you pissed off. So people are pissed off. It's great. Austin and Vince, something weird happens here. So Austin and Vince, as the music's playing, they go up to each other, and Austin's like, looks like he's arguing with Vince about something. And it's just off the mic, so we don't know anything. But it looks like he's arguing. Or, I don't know.
Oh, I didn't catch that. Yeah. I didn't catch that.
Yeah, so listeners out there, if you're going to check it out, check that out. Right at the end of that promo, you'll see Vince and Austin arguing about something. Or maybe it's just Austin being intense and yelling. But it looked like they were having some kind of discussion. I don't know. Anyway, so Triple H is watching along in the back. He looks pissed off. And The Rock is also watching, and he's pissed off too. So we move on now to Triple H backstage. Like I said, he's pissed. So he goes to confront Vince McMahon. And he's been searching for Vince McMahon throughout the night. He's pissed. When he first enters the building, he gets talked to by Michael Cole about what happened. And he's not very happy about it. He wasn't informed. So he goes to see Vince, and Triple H is pissed that he's been kept in the dark about everything. Vince tells him to take it easy, and then Triple H smacks Vince's coffee right out of his hand. Triple H starts to stumble over his words because he's so pissed and frustrated. He says, "I spent the last year kicking Stone Cold Steve Austin's ass for me and you. What the hell's going on?" So Vince says, "You know, I didn't tell you because it wasn't your business. And Stone Cold asked for my help, and you didn't. Stone Cold was a winner at WrestleMania. Triple H, you weren't." So right now we're to think that Triple H is going to be pissed off and not happy with Vince at this point.
Yeah, shunned by Vince, basically. Right. You know, like,
I got my own champ now. Right.
Yeah.
I got my new toy. I got Stone Cold Steve Austin on my side. So Triple H doesn't know what to think of it yet. So we move on now to the main event. It's the steel cage match. Stone Cold Steve Austin versus The Rock just one night after WrestleMania. Here they are at it again. So Vince introduces Austin. Austin, right at the beginning, he's playing chicken shit heel. So that's what we were kind of just mentioning before, is that when he's in the ring cutting his promo by himself or with Vince, he's a badass motherfucker. But once he's confronted by the babyface, now he's back into that heel chicken shit mode. Whereas before, Austin would just run right at The Rock and kick his ass. But now in this case, Austin is outside of the cage. He doesn't go into the cage right away. He's trying to lure The Rock to come close so he can take advantage of him. So yep. Austin lures The Rock to come out, but Austin sets him up. So The Rock comes close, and then Austin slams the cage door on The Rock's head. Austin drags The Rock out of the cage. They begin brawling around the ringside area. Rock punches Austin into the announce booth, then slams Austin into the ring bell, and then nails Austin with the championship belt. At this point, Austin's bandage cut is reopened, so he's already busted open very early on here. The crowd's behind The Rock, of course, as they were the whole night. You get the Rocky chants, and Paul Heyman doing a great job on commentary. Make sure to point that out, that fans are chanting for The Rock. The Rock slams Austin into the cage multiple times, and then starts to rake his head across the chain link fence. And then they're outside the cage at that point still. And they finally make it into the cage about 4 minutes into the match. Austin makes a little comeback, but The Rock quickly stops it. So we're seeing a different style here of Austin and The Rock, where Austin is taking much of the bumps, getting a little comeback, but then The Rock, as the babyface, stopping it very quickly. So totally different style than what we just saw the night before. So that's how easily Austin, or probably many wrestlers, can just go from one role to another role and play it totally different. That's what's cool, to see them just change their role and their whole style just because they've taken on this different character.
Yep.
So even though he's Stone Cold Steve Austin, he's a slightly different Stone Cold. Okay, another notable thing here is Tim White is the ref, so no Earl Hebner. I noticed that at this point in the match, I'm like, oh shit, yeah, it's not Earl in there. It's Tim White. Cool. So Earl Hebner is going to get a night off, and seemingly he has the whole week off, or the next 2 weeks off. So Earl's getting a little vacation here. So McMahon gets Austin a steel chair, just like he did the night before at WrestleMania. Austin starts to pound the chair onto The Rock's chest. The crowd's starting to boo big time. And then immediately when The Rock trips Austin and gets the sharpshooter on, the chairs are even louder than ever. And who knows if they're sweetening the sound to make this more of a great moment for The Rock. Who knows? But I'm sure they've done that before. But this seems like it was kind of too loud. But McMahon is holding Tim White back to prevent Austin from submitting to the sharpshooter, because Austin is tapping, but Tim White can't see it because McMahon's holding him back. The Rock gets up to check on Tim White, get his attention. So McMahon's job was well done there. He prevented Austin from tapping out and losing the title. The Rock runs at Austin with the spine buster and sets up for the people's elbow. He hits the people's elbow, but Vince pulls Tim White out of the ring. Vince starts yelling at him. Tim White starts arguing back. He says, "I'm just doing my damn job. I'm just doing my damn job." Then Tim White actually pushes Vince McMahon to the ground, gets back in the ring. He's like, "I'm doing my fucking job, man. I'm getting back in there." So The Rock hits the rock bottom. Then McMahon gets back into the cage and hits a double axe handle on Tim White. Now, if you follow along with the match, guys, there's the one thing that really stands out with something wrong with this match. It's a cage match. How come Vince McMahon every 2 seconds is in the ring?
Yeah, I know. Because he owns the cage.
They never closed the damn door. They didn't lock it. And Vince McMahon's just been free reign to come in and out of it the whole time. So, like, defeats the entire purpose of having the cage match. So, that was just kind of, what the fuck? You have a cage, but what's the point? You could have had this match without the cage. Yep. Making no difference. So, The Rock slams McMahon into the cage, shuts the door, finally. The Rock has to shut the door. He beats on McMahon. Austin low blows The Rock and stomps away. Then Vince also starts to beat on Tim White again. And then Triple H music hits. So you have Rock and Tim White getting beat down by Vince McMahon and Stone Cold. Here you have Triple H's music. The entire crowd pops, stands up, cheering like crazy. And throughout the night, they've been selling it the right way. Triple H pissed off with McMahon. Now you have this spot where a vulnerable Rock, the crowd, they do like Triple H.
I noticed that.
So
there's kind of like a pop for him a little.
Right. So he comes out. McMahon looks scared. He doesn't know what Triple H is going to do. So Triple H pushes McMahon away. He gets in Austin's face. You know, and this makes sense. And we kind of talked about it a little bit last week, how maybe Triple H could turn face here and been Austin's opponent, you know, been his first rivalry. And it would have just been a continuation because whoever's good, bad, doesn't even really matter as long as they're both still at it with each other because there's still the history going back to Survivor Series 99 when Triple H tried to get him hit with a car. Austin should still hate him for that reason. Triple H should still hate him because he's Austin and because he's always on top and keeping him down from being the champion. So you would think that's a natural feud. So it seems like it makes sense. It's perfect. But Triple H then turns to The Rock as he's getting up. So The Rock's getting back up finally. And then Triple H turns to him and nails him with a sledgehammer. So no continuation of the feud with Austin and Triple H at this point. The Rock is knocked down by the sledgehammer. Triple H is sticking with McMahon. So Austin and Triple H team up on The Rock. Triple H hits the pedigree. Triple H holds The Rock up for Austin to peg him off and kick him in the gut and give him a stunner. And then they both get into The Rock's face and start talking trash. And Austin and Triple H are being cool with each other. And that just makes no sense based on everything that I just said about their whole history and their big feud that they've had. And I feel like Austin and Triple H being cool with each other is probably just as fucked up as Vince and Austin being together too. So within 2 nights, you have Austin decided, all right, I'm going to be with Vince. And then the next night, all right, I'm going to be cool with Triple H now. So it basically goes against everything from Austin's entire run from 98 through 2001. His two major feuds, with the exception of The Rock and Bret Hart, two big feuds. Are now kind of like, don't worry about those.
You can forget about those.
So Austin gets his beers. He gets beers for all of them. And they give cheers to each other. They raise each other's hands. And that's it. They're all together now. Happy family.
Yeah. The new power click. Yeah. It's pretty powerful.
All right.
I mean,
they'll be known as the power trip.
Yeah. You got Vince, his fucking son-in-law. And you got, the biggest act in wrestling, really, for the past few years. The guy that, you know, helped WWE put WCW, you know, out of business and brought WWF into the forefront of wrestling, you know, back into, like, the forefront and, you know, sole show in town now. And he's Team McMahon. Fucking wild.
Crazy. What a hell of a night after WrestleMania, too.
Yeah, as I'm watching it, it kind of hits me more, like, how crazy this is.
It is.
It's like, wow, like, dude, this is fucking nuts. Stone Cold just turned. Right. It's fucking massive.
And it gets even worse the next episode on SmackDown.
Oh, yeah. So
let's get into that. SmackDown 84 from April 5th, taped on April 3rd, 2001. It's from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. And we start off with some backstage segments. McMahon is... mentioning to Stone Cold and Triple H how Undertaker and Kane are forced to be reckoned with. The only reason why I mention that now is because Undertaker and Kane are going to be important going forward. So we'll get back, we'll get to them at another point, but just wanted to point it out that McMahon's saying that now, that they're forced to be reckoned with. Basically telling us that Stone Cold Triple H versus Undertaker Kane is going to be something happening soon.
Yeah. That's not a spoiler.
Yeah, it's not a spoiler.
If you can't see that coming, then
right.
Welcome, I guess you're new to wrestling. We didn't know that.
Right. So I didn't want to wait until next week's episode to bring it up. He says it here. He says it that first week after WrestleMania. So McMahon asked Triple H how he will do against Chris Jericho. So Triple H is getting a title shot against Chris Jericho on this show. Triple H says he's going to kick his ass, take the title. Austin has an interview with Jim Ross. He says he feels real good about it. He hasn't had a heart-to-heart with Jim in a long time. So he's really looking forward to it. McMahon's going to come out, cut a little promo. It's actually pretty lengthy, but we're not going to talk a lot about it because he doesn't give us much. So basically it comes down to McMahon saying he's he talks about Austin beating the shit out of The Rock again. He talks about how Oklahoma sucks. He's trying to just get heat for the Oklahoma crowd, which is going to be important for later on. So he wants this crowd hating him already. So good setup for what's to come later. Get this crowd riled up. McMahon talks about how he and Austin have a bad history, but he's come to respect them, and he's earned even more respect for him because he defended his title against The Rock on Monday Night Raw. Vince McMahon announces that The Rock will not be here tonight. And because of this, he's not available for this episode of SmackDown because he constantly gets his ass beat, and he doesn't want Stone Cold to kick his ass again, so he's got the night off. So he says The Rock has been suspended indefinitely because he wants to protect him from Stone Cold. The fans got to be pissed. Like, what the fuck? You know, you just had this big match on Raw, and then the next night, this taping, well, he's not here now. The Rock goes on a semi little break here from at this point on anyway. I think he's filming a movie. But there's one sign that I noticed in the crowd. So there's a lot of Rock signs, but there was one sign that I saw. It said, "They took my sign again." A sign that says they took my sign again. All right, so let's move on now to an in-ring interview. So this is the big interview with Stone Cold Steve Austin and Jim Ross. We're going to play it in parts. So let's listen to the first part, and we'll be right back.
There's a lot of things I'd like to talk to you about in private that hadn't been made possible. This is not about me and you. I just think there's a lot of questions, Steve, that you should answer for the fans around the world. And the first question, I think, is the most obvious one, is that why in God's name have you aligned yourself with Mr. McMahon, a human being that I know in your heart you have despised more than anybody walking the face of the earth?
Well, that's a pretty simple answer. It's an insurance policy, Jim. How stupid are you? I'm Stone Cold Steve Austin. I said I'm Stone Cold Steve Austin. I said I'm Stone Cold Steve Austin, and I just... I just made the single biggest comeback in the history of our business. A successful comeback, I might add. Did you think I was so stupid to roll into WrestleMania without an insurance policy? I'm right there in my backyard, Houston, Texas, WrestleMania, the biggest pay-per-view in the history of the industry, and now just look at me when I'm talking to you. And I'm not going to roll in there without an insurance policy like I'm going to take a chance on being a loser. No, sir. Vince McMahon is an insurance policy to Stone Cold Steve Austin then, and he will continue to be so in the future.
All right. But Steve, don't you think, don't you feel any remorse for turning your back on the millions of fans around the world that have supported you?
They're chanting for Rocky.
I really don't appreciate the response I'm getting right now. Why in the hell would I feel remorse for anything I've done, Jim? When did Stone Cold ever say, hey, I love to be a hero. I want to be a hero. I want to be these people's hero. When have you ever heard Stone Cold Steve Austin say that? When have you ever heard me say, yeah, I'm Stone Cold Steve Austin, and I care about and I love the WWF fans? When have you heard me say that? You've never heard me say that, have you? And you sit there behind your stupid little desk every week, and you go, the rattlesnake, the rattlesnake, the rattlesnake. Hello, Jim. I come out here and I say, DTA, don't trust anybody, and especially don't trust Stone Cold Steve Austin.
All right, so JR is back home in Oklahoma. His family is in attendance here. And we get a mixed reaction from the crowd when Austin comes out. You get numerous signs now, even more. You have Stone Cold Stupid, Stone Cold Sellout, Stone Cold Sucks, Austin is Evil, Brown Nose 316 with a shitty drawing of a nose. And this is the best one. No more 316 signs, 316. No more 316 signs, 316. That's great. So those are the signs that were in the crowd. Austin takes it all in. He lets the crowd boo him for a few moments, which is another good little thing to do, is just soak it in. Let him keep going. Don't cut him off. Let him just keep booing. So JR asks Austin why he aligned himself with Mr. McMahon, a man he has despised more than anybody walking the earth. Austin says, it's simple. It's an insurance policy. How stupid are you? I'm Stone Cold Steve Austin. It's like, yeah, man, I'm the champ. I need to protect my spot, basically what he's saying. He says, I made the biggest, most successful comeback of all time in wrestling, and I wasn't going to take the chance of being a loser. Not at WrestleMania, not the biggest show in the history of the industry. I'm not going to look like a loser here. So he had to win in his mind. I just have to win. Doesn't matter. And I needed that insurance policy. I needed the help just in case. And it worked out that way. So JR asks Austin if he has any remorse for turning his back on the millions of fans that supported him. And I like Austin's response. He says, when did Stone Cold ever say I'm a hero? When did I ever say I want to be a hero?
Yeah, this is good shit. Yep. Like we put him on that pedestal.
Right.
We made him that. He was never like, you know, campaigning and on that, like running his career on that.
Right. Yeah, just go back. He never wanted the fans to cheer for him. I mean, he eventually took advantage of it, like, with, oh, hell yeah, give me an oh, hell yeah for this, you know, but he didn't ask for it. He just played off of it. And I never wanted to be these people's heroes. Have you ever heard Stone Cold Steve Austin say that? And damn right, he's spot on. So, great shit there. Austin starts to mock JR. He's like, you're the one that hyped this all up. You know, oh, there's the rattlesnake. There's the rattlesnake. Stone Cold. Stone Cold. So he's making fun of JR for like, you're the one that caused all this. You're the one that caused the fans to like me.
It's true. The voice of Stone Cold on the commentary is fucking, he's got his own guy.
Right.
Fucking JR.
Right, it's this cheerleader. he's the leader of that fan club, so it makes perfect sense what Austin's going to do to him. Like, as a representative of the fans, here's my number one fan, this is what I think of all you fans. It's kind of what we're getting to. But he does a little knock on the head of JR, like, hey, stupid. It's like almost like Back to the Future. Hello, McFly! You an idiot? And this is the great part right here, the last part of this first promo, first part of the interview. I come out here and I say, DTA, don't trust anybody, especially Stone Cold Steve Austin. That makes perfect sense, too. Like, he's the one that always says it, DTA. He's not saying, don't trust anybody else but me. He's saying, don't trust anybody, including and especially me. I'm the rattlesnake. You shouldn't trust me.
It's his fucking motto that he's been telling everybody. So clearly, yeah, meaning anybody is inclusive of Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Right, exactly. All right, so let's listen to the second half, and then we'll be right back to talk about that.
I don't feel sorry for one single soul out here in this godforsaken town or in America or anywhere in the damn world.
All right. So you don't care about the fans anywhere. I guess that's your prerogative.
Are you sassing me?
No.
Don't you dare sass me. Do I make myself clear?
Yes. Next question. Monday night on Raw, you stood in the ring right next to a man, Triple H, that orchestrated the most elaborate conspiracy to run you down like roadkill with the express thought in mind to put you out of the WWF forever. How can you become all of a sudden an ally to Triple H?
Are you going to talk about Triple H behind his back? Because Triple H ain't out here to defend himself? You're going to talk trash about Triple H? Is that it? Shut up. I'm talking. When I talk, you listen. Shut the hole in your face. If that man was sick enough to run over Stone Cold Steve Austin with a car, if he was sick enough to try to put me out of this business, and he was not successful, but if he was sick enough to do that, wouldn't you want him on your side too? And I'll tell you right now, if you want any more of an answer from Stone Cold Steve Austin about that question, you'll have to beat it out of me. Do you understand what I just told you?
I heard you, Steve.
Look at you. Your little cowboy hat. Your little glasses. Your stupid little belt buckle. Look at me. You look like you just lost your best friend.
Well, you know, maybe I have. You know, I can remember when you came out of surgery, there was one person in the WWF that was there. That was me. And on Super Bowl Sunday, 3 weeks after your spinal surgery, there was one person you talked to on national television, and that was me. And the one person that would call you time and time again when you were healing that said, Stone Cold, don't you give up. You'll be back in the WWF, and you'll be the WWF champion. That was me, Steve. And the only people from the WWF that you and Debbie invited to your wedding was me and my wife. So yeah, Steve, I do feel like I'm losing my best friend, and it don't feel good.
Let me see if I can sort through all this sentimental crap and get down to the bottom line. You're telling me right now Stone Cold Steve Austin turns up the voltage and you don't want to be my friend no more?
I never said that.
It sounds to me like you said you don't want to be Stone Cold Steve Austin's friend. Does that make you mad? I knock your little cowboy hat off, I pull your glasses off, huh? Does that make you mad? You want to punch me, hillbilly boy, right here in your hometown?
No, Steve. No.
Go ahead, you little mealy mouth. Take your best swing at Stone Cold, your old best friend.
I think this interview was a mistake. Interview over. Sorry.
Wait a minute! What the hell is Austin doing?
Oh man, this is too much, Cole.
Stone Cold just attacked JR from behind.
Wait a minute! Stop it! Stop it! Stop it! Stop it! Damn it, stop it right now! What do you think you're doing? What do you think you're doing, Austin? That's your best friend out there, and you're taking it easy on your very best friend. Damn it, Steve, come on! Open him up!
Oh,
open him up!
God!
Get him! Get him! Come on! Get him!
This is Austin's wearing him out!
Jim Ross has been
bloody.
Steve, man, stop!
Stone Cold Steve Austin!
Teach that son of a lesson!
Damn!
Stone Cold Steve Austin following orders from Mr. McMahon to beat the hell out of his once best friend Taz.
I can't believe this, Cole.
And a number of officials making their way down to the ring. Jim Ross has been beaten to a bloody pulp by Austin, and now he's got the belt off.
Austin ain't stopping. He's going to choke him out. He's busting him open. This is sickening, man.
Austin,
Steve, stop, man.
Austin is crazed, Taz. Austin in that altered state we've only seen once before, and that was a vicious assault on The Rock. And look at Jim Ross.
I just looked up in the ring, Cole. I looked at Austin's eye real quick, man. He looks sick. He's whacked, man.
Looks like a crazed dog. Manson, like, psychotic.
Well, get in the ring and stop him, refs. Damn. You can't blame them, though.
You can't blame him at all. Stone Cold Steve Austin, just stop this now. Austin destroying Jim Ross.
Damn.
And look at the satisfied grin on Mr. McMahon's face.
Austin following orders from Mr. McMahon, Taz. Austin destroying his good friend Jim Ross in Jim Ross's hometown in front of his own people. Jim Ross's family's here, damn it.
I'm speechless, Cole. I never thought I'd see the day that the rattlesnake would bite JR in the heart.
So JR says, I guess you don't care about the fans anywhere. And Austin's like, you better not be sassing me. So JR brings up how Triple H caused his injury, the car attack, and Austin's pissed that JR is talking about Triple H when he's not out here to defend himself. He's like, shut up, I'm talking. When I talk, you listen. Shut up. Shut your whole face up. If that man is sick enough to try me, to try to put me out of business, wouldn't you want him to be on your side? I guess he has a point to that, too. And I don't totally agree with it, but it does make some sense. It's something a heel would say. Like, yeah, he's sick. I want him on my side. So,
yeah.
Austin says JR would have to beat an answer out of him. I don't think he needs to beat an answer out of him, because I'm pretty sure Austin just answered the question.
He definitely did.
Right. He said, wouldn't you want somebody on your side like him because he's crazy? But then this is where it gets really good. I love this part. He says, look at you. I wish you could do your voice, because when your Stone Cold voice, because when I was watching this, all I thought of was all the times that you would pick on somebody in school using the Stone Cold voice. A lot of times me. And when it was me, I felt like JR. Like, I couldn't say anything. Like, and how, like, downtrodden he is in this segment where he just has, like, his head down and he can't say shit. That's how I used to always feel when you used to fucking pull the Stone Cold on me.
I only said it to you because I knew you wouldn't act like an asshole about it. And I, like, you could roll with the joke.
You're right.
Some people I remember I would do it to, and they'd get, like, mad, like, embarrassed.
Yeah.
They'd be like, dude, chill.
Right.
Like, Marty would get mad sometimes.
Right.
Don't be thinking you're a badass talking to me like that.
It's like, dude, I'm doing Stone Cold Austin. Yeah. You know, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
It's like, dude, it's basically like a comedy bit.
Right. But Austin says, and this is exactly like the shit that you used to say when you would do the impression, look at you. And this is what Austin does, though. Like, this is what you did. The same things. Like, you just find things on the person to make fun of.
I was being heel Austin before Austin was heel.
Yeah. Look at you, your little cowboy hat, your little glasses. And then this one's great because he just noticed this, your stupid little belt buckle. You look like you lost your best friend. And then JR's like, well, you know, maybe I have. JR mentions how he was the one person who met him after his surgery. He was the first person to call him. He's one of the only people to call him every week and encourage him to come back. JR and his wife were one of only two couples to go to his wedding in Las Vegas. He says, I do feel like I'm losing a best friend. And it don't feel good. And then Austin's response is great. Because I'll just say it again. He says, you know, you're saying Stone Cold Steve Austin turns up the voltage and you don't want to be my friend no more? Like, that's great because you never said I'm not your friend. Austin never said I'm not your friend anymore, JR.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You're the one fucking being all, like, against me now. So he's calling JR out, like, oh, why are you not my friend anymore? Because I'm the champion? Because I beat up The Rock? I beat up The Rock before and you didn't care. You know? He beat no shit. You know what I mean? He kicked The Rock's ass when The Rock was a heel, and JR didn't care about that. But now, because he's with McMahon and he beat the shit out of The Rock with the steel chair, that, you know, you can't be friends with me anymore. I like how he says no more, too.
Yeah.
You don't want to be my friend no more?
Spoken like it would be in the schoolyard.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
He does a really good job spinning this on JR.
Right. He does.
And he's not wrong. These points he makes, like, aren't, like, fabricated. There's some truth to everything he's saying here.
Right, and you can feel for Austin, too. Like, dude, I'm just trying to do what's good for me, and I never said you weren't my friend, but you're basically saying you're not my friend now. So, we'll continue on from there, but he knocks JR's hat off his head. You know, this sounds like you don't want to be Stone Cold's friend. Does that make you mad? You want to punch me? You mealy-mouthed son of a bitch? Then JR's like, well, this interview's over. Then that's when Austin attacks JR, beats the shit out of him. McMahon comes out. Stop it, stop it, stop it. What do you think you're doing? You're taking it easy on your best friend. Damn it, Steve. Open him up.
That's so dark.
Yeah. And then Austin just proceeds to beat the shit out of him, bust him open. JR even said in his book, no, actually it was in Austin's book, but JR said that later backstage, he told Austin, you know, he could have taken it easy on me. And Austin said, I was just trying to make it look as real as possible. And then JR's family was in attendance, and they would usually just go back and, you know, talk to Steve because they really are like best friends in real life. And he would always see their family after a show. And they didn't want to see Austin that night. They didn't talk to him. Yeah.
Because they were trying to help his character, or were they just...
They his kids didn't want to see him, and they're like, oh, no.
No kidding.
Yeah, that's how real it seemed. Like, somebody that you always see as a certain way, in a certain way around your dad, and then you see him kicking the shit out of him. Even if it's staged, it's tough to not get that imagery out of your head.
Why are you beating my dad up?
Right, he's got this belt wrapped around his neck. He's bleeding, and it was legit shots too. So crazy, but cool shit there. The crowd boos big time. They're chanting for The Rock. Awesome segment. It's hell yeah! That's probably gonna be my hell yeah. Just everything about it is great. Everything about Austin as a heel is excellent. So
yes,
I was so happy that it was something that I enjoyed because based on what we were saying last week, we're like, oh no, who knows what's to come here? You know, this might suck ass, and it's not sucking ass at all. All right, so from there, one last thing that happens on the show is that Triple H does win the IC title from Chris Jericho, becomes a 3-time champion. So now you have Stone Cold, Triple H, World Champ, IC Champ. So they look like they want to go on a dominating run here. So we'll see what happens with that as we move forward to Raw 411 from April 9th, 2001. This is live in Boston, Massachusetts at the old Fleet Center, now known as the TD Garden, Fleet Center at the time. And what we have here to start off is Vince McMahon wants to meet with Jim Ross, and Jim Ross is about to start his job, and Vince doesn't think that he's in the right frame of mind to do it because he got beat up by Stone Cold, and he just wants to make sure everything's all right. So they have a meeting in Vince's room, and Austin eventually does show up right away. Austin's funny here. He basically like goes right up to JR and like sits right like right on the side of him, all cozy with his arm around him, while they sit on a couch. And Vince McMahon pops in a VHS tape, The Life and Times of Good Old JR. And basically, all they do is replay the entire interview again. Literally, the entire thing. Not like, here's a few clips from it. Nope, just watch the whole fucking thing again. So they played it all for JR. Austin says that watching the video makes him realize how weak and pathetic JR actually is.
I love that.
So then Austin walks out. JR says he is in the right frame of mind to work tonight, and he informs Vince that, you know, his lawyer says he has a hell of a lawsuit if he chooses to go that way. JR says it's not his style, but maybe he could quit. And then Vince McMahon's like, yeah, yeah, you want to quit? Yeah, go ahead. And Jim Ross is like, yeah, but if I quit, I'll go right down and work for Shane down in WCW. So JR gets up and says he has work to do. Like, little zinger at Vince. Oh, yeah, you don't want me here? Well, I'll work for fucking Shane instead. So that shuts Vince McMahon up. And then we move on in the show. We get to the main event. It's Stone Cold Steve Austin, Triple H, and Stephanie McMahon all teaming up to go up against the Hardy Boys and Lita. And the way that this match started off is because Linda McMahon has a promo where she announces that she has resumed all her duties as CEO.
CEO, yep.
So she's back on top, and she's proud of Shane McMahon for doing what he had to do at WrestleMania, wishes him luck with WCW. But her third announcement is that she wants a divorce from Vince McMahon. And Vince is like denying it. He doesn't want it. No way. Because he knows that if she's demanding it, then he's fucked. Because he's the one that has been cheating on her and all that. So she has a greater case for divorce than he ever did. So now she's saying, oh yeah, I'll take you up on that. I want the divorce. So that's where we go from there. Lita comes up to Linda McMahon as she's leaving, says she's inspired by what Linda did to Vince McMahon. But Vince McMahon runs to stop Linda and then sees Lita and is like, oh, yeah, you real inspired? Well, how about this? Team up with the Hardy Boys and face Stone Cold, Triple H, and Stephanie. So that's her punishment for liking what Linda had to say to him. Now we get to the match. So this is the first time that Stone Cold and Triple H are teaming up here, and they will become known as the two-man power trip. And then we have Tim White as the referee again here. So like I said before, I'll have this probably on some vacation. And the Hardy Boys get a good amount of offense in on this match. And Austin and Triple H. So that's a little different to see them actually weak. You know, you never see Triple H.
Vulnerable.
Vulnerable, right. You know, more so Triple H. Like, I can understand Austin doing it because he's a pro, but Triple H, he usually doesn't. He doesn't take the beatings. Especially from the Hardy Boys, who's getting a huge push here.
Especially, Jeff Hardy.
Right.
But
this is a big push for the Hardy Boys here at this point. This is their biggest push. They're up against the two biggest stars currently. You know, The Rock's still there, but not really there at this point.
Yeah, it's kind of been written out.
Right. So it's crazy to see Matt Hardy giving it to Stone Cold and just to see Austin taking the beating as a heel, as I was saying. But Austin tells Triple H to get in the ring to distract the ref so we can low blow Matt Hardy. That was so great of a tag team move. And we say it all the time that whenever Austin's in a tag team match, he's just so brilliant at working in tag team spots. Like,
sure these is.
Little subtle things like, oh, hey, get in there so you can distract so I can give a low blow. It was awesome. So good shit there. The women are not really involved in this match at all until the very end. Stephanie is not even... this is funny. Stephanie's not even in the right spot. She doesn't even know what she's doing. So when she's on the apron, she's almost more than halfway to the other corner. She's like in the middle of the ring. If you're watching on a hard camera, she's to the right of the middle of the ring. And
you know why this pisses me off? It's because she's been in a more active role recently.
Yep.
In the ring. And it's like nobody, I find it hard to believe that nobody explained to her how a tag match is supposed to work and like positioning and shit.
Right. She should just look across the ring and see where Lita is. Be like, oh.
Yeah, she looks very like green.
Right.
I didn't, you know, greener than you really know that she is.
And this is her first tag team match, but still, she's been around watching wrestling.
Yeah, exactly. Like, come on. You're not paying attention.
Right, you'd think she would know this. So, when she's outside, Triple H is in the ring when she's doing that. But once Triple H gets tagged in, or tagged out rather, and Austin comes in, seconds later, you could see Steph get back to the corner. I guarantee Triple H was like, hey, get over here. Like, you belong over here. Because if anything, Triple H, he cares about the business and he wants it to look good. So he probably told her, get back to this corner. This is where you're supposed to be. So that was a funny spot. So that was at 1 hour, 29 minutes, if you want to see how dumb she looks. All right, so we go to the finish. And Austin and Triple H end up fighting the Hardy Boys at ringside. And Lita's going to hit a moonsault on Stephanie in the ring. Tim White does his job and stays in the ring with the legal participants and makes the three count for Team Extreme to win this match. Now look at that. See what happens when a referee stays in the ring rather than, oh, Triple H, Austin, and the Hardy Boys are fighting outside the ring. Let me get out there and ignore the legal people, Lita and Stephanie. Now, Tim White does the right thing, stays in there, and he gets a spot where he can actually make a three count. Whoa! And the Hardy Boys win. That's crazy. The Hardy Boys pull off a win. You know, even though it's Stephanie getting pinned, it's still pretty cool. You would think that Stone Cold and Triple H were just going to steamroll them and kick their ass, but it's not what happened. So they have some.
That's what
different...
I thought was going to happen.
Yeah. Because
I didn't realize this is how early. I mean, we know we've seen some, you know, 5-star, 4-star matches with the Hardy Boys recently, you know,
right,
in extreme,
yeah,
with those guys, Edge and Christian, in extreme situations. And you know, we knew then, like we know now, Jeff Hardy stole the show more times than not in those matches. He looked like the star,
yep,
in all of those tag matches. So just the fact that we knew that, like I'm pretty sure you would agree that you felt the same way.
Oh, yeah.
Jeff Hardy looked like the star, not Edge. Edge looked like a star, but Hardy looked like,
you mean Matt
star.
Hardy.
Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, Jeff Hardy over Matt Hardy. Yeah.
Right, and over the Dudleys, and over Edge and Christian. I'm talking like,
oh,
all these
a single
tag teams.
Yeah, yeah,
feuding.
Okay, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if they're looking like, who could they make a star out of in this group? I think Jeff Hardy was at the top of the list, and then Edge was probably a close second.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think Edge was above Jeff at this point.
Neither do I. So, that helps WWE. That convinces WWE to put the Hardys over, I think. It's because they know they have a legit star in Jeff Hardy.
Right.
Like, you see the reaction he gets when he's going to the top rope. Not that Matt's not getting a reaction, but I think anyone that watched wrestling then in our age group would agree that Jeff Hardy was the Hardy.
Oh, yeah.
And that's we know that's how it ends up playing.
Right.
Career-wise.
And even when we get to the next episode we're about to cover in just a couple minutes, we see that even more.
You know, but I didn't realize it started in 01. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I forgot about it.
Started to see it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great that they decided to do it right here because they're writing something totally different, too. It's like, this is different. This is new. You know, Hardys are now in it with Austin and Triple H. That's cool. That's a way to push them big time.
Oh, yeah.
So the real action, though, here happens after this match. So the good guys won here. They pulled it off, but they're not going to really win. So Triple H and Austin slide back into the ring. Triple H knocks her down from behind, knocks Lita down from behind, then stomps on her, and gives her the pedigree. Matt Hardy runs in after Triple H. Then Jeff comes in. He gets nailed by Austin's steel chair. Austin then hits Matt Hardy from behind with the steel chair. Then Austin starts to wail on Matt Hardy with the chair, like he did to The Rock at WrestleMania. Then Lita lays down on Matt to protect him. Like, no, don't do anymore. Don't do anymore. And then Austin, he doesn't give a fuck. He just lays into Lita with the steel chair 9 times. Nonstop. Boom, boom, boom. I couldn't believe it that he was beating the shit out of Lita with the steel chair. And then he even puts the chair on her throat. Then JR has a great call. Something is not right in Austin's head. Something has gone terribly wrong here. Austin looks like a monster at this point. He's so bad. The crowd.
Yeah, he's zoned in.
And the crowd loves the Hardys. And the crowd loved what the Hardys, you know, the Hardys were able to beat them. So the crowd's cheering so much for them even more. And now they're just going to take it right away from him by having Austin kick the shit out of the Hardys and then a woman and then Lita.
Yeah.
So they were booking on point during these 2 weeks after WrestleMania.
Yeah, and they were booking on point, and they had the professional of all professionals in Stone Cold to pull it off.
Right. Yeah, Stone Cold, perfect. Perfect heel, you can do it exactly right, and he did. So that was awesome. Triple H grabs Lita by the hair, Austin pegs Lita off, and then gives her a stunner, and then we get the call, why, for the love of God, why? What happened to Austin? Austin and Triple H, this is damn sure sick. What the hell can we do about it? And that's the feeling. Like, what the hell can we do about these two guys? Nothing at this point. It's working. This heel shit is working. It's getting over. I love it. And that brings us now to the last show. It's SmackDown 85 from April 12, 2001. Taped on April 10, 2001. It's from Philadelphia. And we start off first with a promo from Triple H. And he's eventually going to introduce Stone Cold. But before he gets to that, he's going to do his typical thing where he talks too much. one thing he does make a huge mistake on, but I want to point that out. So Triple H says that a month ago, WWF was such a rosy place. The Rock was the champ. Jericho was the IC champion. And Foley was the commish. I was like, no. Foley was not the commissioner a month ago in March. Foley hasn't been around since December. So how the hell does he fuck that up? Just because Foley's back? Ugh. He's 3 months off. No,
that was a good catch because I don't think I would have caught that.
No, because Regal's been the commissioner for a while.
Yeah.
You know, not just the past month. Well, ever since he was gone. So it's been a while. So yeah, it was a little catch there. But the crowd continues to chant for The Rock. And I like how they continue to chant for The Rock because it shows like they want him to come back. So when he does come back, it's gonna be big. It's gonna be awesome when he comes back to go after Austin and Triple H. If that's the plan, you know, that would be great. So as I said, The Rock's probably filming something. I looked into his film history. He has a movie coming out, Long Shots, in October of 2001. So it's likely that he's filming that because it's April 2001. So that could make sense. Or it could possibly be the Scorpion King, because the Scorpion King has a lot of post-production. So he may have been filming it at this point, which is a year ahead of the movie coming out. So he could have been filming that, and then all the digital type of shit would have been done later. And that shit took a long time back then. Still takes a lot of time to do it. So they probably needed that whole year to get that movie ready for April 2002. So he's filming one of those movies for sure. That's why he's gone at this point. So Triple H talks his bullshit, like I said. But he has one goofy-ass line he says to Austin. He says, you are that damn cold, and I am that damn good. And together, we sure as hell are that damn unstoppable. So he gives the mic over to Austin, thankfully, to end his shit show. And then Austin gets the mic, so this is a fucking awesome promo again from Stone Cold. So let's take a listen to it, and we'll be right back.
Go ahead and get off your ass and get the new WWF champ a hell yeah. Let me go ahead and make a long story short, just like Triple H said. Last 2 weeks, complete mayhem. The same old mealy mouth questions. Why'd you do this? Why'd you do that?
Stone Cold Steve Austin rolled into WrestleMania, and I took that steel chair and I laid into The Rock with everything I had. I said I laid into The Rock with everything I had. I did what I did to The Rock. Why? Because I wanted to. Why? Because there wasn't one single soul back there that could stop Stone Cold Steve Austin. So then we roll into Oklahoma City, good old Jim Ross's hometown, and he wants to bring me out in this very ring and say, why, Stone Cold, why? And I'm sick of that. And he's made a living. He's made a damn good living riding my coattails, sitting his fat ass at that desk saying, Stone Cold, Stone Cold, Stone Cold, Stone Cold, wham! I laid that fat out in this very ring, and I started beating his head in, and that blood started running out of his head just like that Red River in Oklahoma, and it looked so good to Stone Cold Steve Austin. And why did I do that? I did that because I could. Let me say that one time slowly. I did that because I could. And there wasn't nobody around that could stop me. You got the little Hardy Boys tragedy. Bad deal. Wrong place at the wrong time. Them Hardy Boys rolled out here, and they couldn't help it. Vince McMahon knows better. You don't put no dumb broad against the ring. And Stone Cold Steve Austin, that's something you just don't do. So when I laid into that little Matt Hardy with that chair, beat his little carcass limp because I wanted to, and then I took a little stroll, walked around the ring, and what did I see? His stupid ass girlfriend, dumb enough to crawl her little carcass on top of Matt Hardy and say, hey, if I lay here, maybe Stone Cold won't beat the living hell out of Matt Hardy. Honey, that's where you done figured wrong. And I'll tell you what, Lita, when you laid your little carcass on top of Matt Hardy's little carcass, and I looked at you, and I looked at Triple H, and I looked back down on you, and you thought I was gonna have some mercy, and I laid into your little carcass with everything that I had, and you know what? You know what, Lita? That's the single best feeling I've had running through my system in a long, long time. And if you did it again, Stone Cold Steve Austin would do the same damn thing. Why? Because there ain't a single back there that can stop Stone Cold Steve Austin. There ain't a single man back there that can stop Triple H. Bottom line, if you don't understand what I'm saying, there ain't one back there that can stop Stone Cold Steve Austin and Triple H. And I sit here and look at these jackasses in this crowd. You. It could have been you. It could have been this fat broad right here. It could have been you. It could have been you. It could have been this little buck-toothed son of a right there. It could have been you, and there ain't nothing you can do about it. It could have been you. It could have been you.
Jeff Hardy with a chair from behind. Jeff Hardy. It's Stephanie slapping Jeff Hardy. Twist of fate. Jeff Hardy. Jeff Hardy with a twist.
All right, so Austin gets into the ring. He gets on the second rope. He tells the audience to get off their ass and give the champ a hell yeah. Just fucking with them. There's a sign in the audience that says, Austin 316 says, I just kissed Vince's ass. Austin talks about the mealy mouth complainers. Why? Why would I do this? Why'd you do that? Austin talks about laying it into the Rock with everything he had. You know, why did I do it? Because I wanted to. Why? Because there wasn't a single soul back there that could stop Stone Cold Steve Austin. Then Austin goes on to talk about JR's beatdown. You know, he wants to bring me out here and say, why, Stone Cold, why? And I'm sick of that. He's made a goddamn living riding my coattails, sitting his fat ass right there saying, Stone Cold, Stone Cold, Stone Cold. Then Austin goes on to continue to explain why he kicked the shit out of Jim Ross. Little side note here.
A-plus promo.
Oh, my God, yeah. Just that alone was awesome. But just a little aside here is that the ECW Straw Hat guy is in attendance in that 12-minute
Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah, Hawaiian shirt, Straw Hat, John Bailey. He can be seen pegging off Austin at 12 minutes, 52 seconds. Austin's looking at the crowd, and he just stands up in the third row, pegs him off. Fuck you, Austin. So Austin goes on and says, why did I do it? I did it because I could. And there wasn't nobody around that could stop me. These fans are fucking heated in Philly. Yeah, Stone Cold. Then Austin goes on to talk about the Hardy Boys and Lita. This part's great, too. You don't put no dumbass broad against Stone Cold Steve Austin. That's just something you don't do. Then he's like, oh, stupid-ass girlfriend was dumb enough to crawl a little carcass on top of Matt Hardy and say, hey, if I lay here, maybe Stone Cold won't beat the living hell out of me, Matt Hardy. Austin's nailing it here. So Austin says beating up Lita was the single greatest feeling he's had in a long time. Great. Awesome shit there. So we go on. He says, why? Because there's not a single bleep back there. I don't know what he says.
Yeah, I couldn't piece together what these bleeps.
Yeah, they didn't make any sense. What curse
word these bleeps were.
Right.
I'm like, I doubt he was using the F word.
No, no way.
That makes sense.
I don't know what it is, but SmackDown always gets the bleeps. So it could have been anything. Could have been hell. Could have been, I don't know. I don't want to speculate, but it's just whatever. So he says there's not a single person back there that could stop Stone Cold Steve Austin. Not a single man that could beat Triple H. That's the bottom line. You can't understand what I'm saying. There ain't nobody back there that can stop Stone Cold and Triple H. So he's basically saying we're unstoppable, just like Triple H said. As I look out here and I see the jackasses in the crowd, like you, could have been you. It could have been that fat broad right here.
I love when he attacks the crowd now.
It's awesome.
Calls a bucktooth dude.
Yeah.
Bucktooth kid or something.
Yeah, he says, it could have been this little bucktooth son of a bitch right here. That's the great thing when you're in heel. You can just say whatever you want.
Yeah.
Fuck with the crowd. So at this point, Jeff Hardy sneaks up behind Triple H and nails Triple H with the steel chair. Then he nails Austin with the steel chair. Stephanie slaps Jeff Hardy. Then Jeff Hardy hits the twist of fate on Stephanie. Jeff runs off as Austin and Triple H are standing there pissed in the ring. Fucking great heel promo by Stone Cold here. And Triple H is pissed backstage. He wants Regal to do something about it, about Jeff attacking Stephanie. So Regal talks to Jeff Hardy and says, your punishment is you're going to be put in a match with Triple H for the IC title. So it's a shot for Jeff, but it's supposed to be basically you're getting your ass kicked by Triple H. But the title's on the line. All right, and then we move on to a backstage segment. It's pretty quick here, so take a listen to it. I want you to listen to it because it's pretty funny, something I have to say about it. So take a quick listen to that, and we'll be right back.
Come in.
Hey. Hey, Jerry. Do you have just a minute I can talk to you?
Well, you bet.
You know what? I just want to talk to you about some things that's really been bothering me. And I just want to say that I feel so bad what Steve did to you in Oklahoma City. I mean, what he did to your head. I just want to say, too, that I was not involved in this because it breaks my heart, JR.
Oh, Debbie, I know you weren't involved. I don't know what kind of person you are. And you didn't have to come in here and apologize to me. I thought I knew the man, and I guess I didn't. I guess after what Steve did to Lita Monday night on Raw, maybe you feel the same way.
Well, you know what, Jerry? It makes me really confused because to watch my husband, you know, pick up that chair and to raise it over his head.
What are you doing, Jim? Huh? You in there flirting with my wife now?
Get out of my face. Get away from me now. Get. You get your bags, pack them, we're leaving now. Now.
All right, so in this segment, it was Deborah talking to Jim Ross, and then Stone Cold's going to interrupt, but Deborah's telling JR she feels bad about what Austin did to him, and JR's like, oh, you know, I thought I knew the man better than I did, you know, and based on what he did with Lita, maybe you don't know him as much as you do, as you think you do either. So JR's just pointing out there that maybe Austin's not the man you married, you know, the man you thought he was, just like I didn't know he was this way either. And then Austin walks in on both of them, and he gets right into JR's face. Like, what are you doing, Jim? You in here flirting with my wife now? Get out of my face. Get away from me right now. Get.
This is where I felt bad for JR the most.
Yeah, I felt bad because he's just trying to, you know, be nice to Deborah.
Like, you know he's not. It's like, you just want a reason to beat the fuck up out of this guy.
Right, you're just bullying him now.
Yeah.
And that was my first thought was like, Austin is like a 1980s movie bully here. Yeah. I can't think of a scene off the top of my head, but it's probably happened so many times in an 80s movie where the bully, the jock, goes up to the nerdy, you know, the main person in the movie and be like, are you flirting with my girlfriend? You're going to try to get with my girlfriend? She don't want you, you loser. Like that kind of thing. You think you're going to talk to my girlfriend? You're going to get my girlfriend? Fuck off. So that's exactly how he comes off here in this segment. Austin tells Deborah to get her bags. They're leaving now. And then Austin grabs Deborah by the arm, and they walk out that way as they leave the building. And then Triple H has his match against Jeff Hardy. So Jeff Hardy gets this spot, and he even gets solid offense on Triple H, just like he did in the tag team match from Raw. So this is a huge spot for Jeff Hardy. As JV was saying, this is kind of the point where you're pointing out that Jeff Hardy's the one. Of all these tag teams we've got, he's the one that could potentially be a star. And that's exactly what I was thinking, too, at this point. I was like, this is like they're doing the Shawn Michaels, Marty Jannetty test.
Yep.
They got to find out, or the Rockers test, you know, who is the star. And they're going to see if they have a new Shawn Michaels. And I would say, for that generation, they did. Like, Jeff Hardy would go on to be, like, the new Shawn Michaels for that generation. Not so much in WWF at that point because he wouldn't be there for long, but actually he would be there for quite a while and be a top star and then go to TNA and be a big star. So he broke out. He became a big star. Obviously not to the level of Shawn Michaels, but big following. People liked him. So we have this match, a solid match, worth checking out, worth watching. Tim White's the referee here. Jeff is going to climb the ropes. He goes for a Swanton bomb, but Triple H pushes Tim White into the ropes, causing Jeff to lose his footing, and then he lands on his nuts. Tim White gets up, pushes Triple H for being pushed by Triple H. So Triple H then pushes Tim back down to the mat, and Tim White, using referee discretion, is like, screw it, I'm not going to DQ you. I'm going to let this go on longer and see what happens. So as he's arguing there, Matt Hardy runs in, nails Triple H with the steel chair, after he gets pushed down, rather. And Matt Hardy runs in with that, hits him with the chair. Jeff hits a Swanton bomb. Tim White comes to. He makes a three count. Jeff Hardy wins the IC title. Fucking cool. So Triple H barely hangs on to the title. He has it for a week. Jeff Hardy swoops in, and the big push is happening for the Hardys. And Jeff has that title. So cool shit there. Davey, what'd you think of Jeff Hardy winning that IC title?
Thought it was cool. Yeah. Especially considering, you know, the momentum that Stone Cold's on here and how, you know, just the, you know, the three episodes we covered prior to this, you know, the two Raws and the SmackDown, how strong they're trying to make Stone Cold and Triple H look. And then, you know, a guy like Jeff Hardy, a relative, you know, mid-card guy, tag team guy, and his brother Matt pull the upset victory over the new power trip in town. So,
yeah. Good.
I thought it was good booking.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good feel good too.
I love a good surprise.
Right, like the way that show is going, you have or just the past 2 weeks, everything we've covered, it's these guys have been on a rampage, and Austin is just so nasty and heelish. And then right at the end here, you have this sign of hope. Like, all right, Austin left, so you know he can't fuck with it. Can't fuck with this match. And you have the Hardys, so Jeff Hardy in this case, by himself, achieve a great achievement. Beat Triple H, win the IC title. So we end on a happy note, even though things may seem rough for the most part. There's a shine of hope, and that's the Hardy Boys here. And this story will continue on, so there'll be more to come with the Hardys, Austin, and Triple H as we continue on next week on episode 81, which will be called Two-Man Power Trip, because they're really on a rampage at that point, and they'll be heading to the Backlash pay-per-view. Well, they'll have another tag team to deal with, one that I mentioned a little earlier, but I won't spoil anymore, so you have to have been listening earlier to remember what team that is. But we'll get into that next week on episode 81. So we're going to move on. We're going to take a quick little break here, take a listen to Talking Taker's Alex Dorio, talk about the show. And then also we'll be back with our new segment where we're going to be covering stuff that happened in these episodes. But it's going to be called The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly. We'll be right back.
What's up, Rattlesnakes? This is Alex Dorio, one half of the Talking Taker podcast. And even though Stone Cold might say DTA, don't trust anybody, we hope you'll trust us when we say if you love the Bottom Line Wrestling Cast, you'll also enjoy what we're doing over on Talking Taker. Each week, my lifelong wrestling buddy and fellow creature of the night, Mr. Travis White, and I explore one pay-per-view match in the career of the greatest professional wrestling character of all time, The Undertaker. We're right in the heart of the Dead Man's second coming in the late 2000s. We've got over 125 episodes, so you can jump in from the beginning or pick and choose from some of your favorite moments, including every single Undertaker versus Stone Cold Steve Austin match analyzed in detail, including a great crossover episode with our buddies here at the Bottom Line Cast. You can listen to us wherever podcasts are found, and you can follow along our journey at Talking Taker on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Thanks to Mike and JV for letting us plug the show, and take her easy.
All right, welcome back, and it's now time for the good, the bad, and the ugly roundup. And in this new segment, JV and I will go back and forth with a couple good things that we noticed from these episodes of Raw and SmackDown, a couple bad things, and maybe something that was ugly. So sometimes there might be a lot of bad, might not be a lot of bad. Sometimes it might not be any ugly. It'll be different every week, so it all depends. We might not always have something for all three of those criteria, good, bad, and ugly, but we'll see. There's always good. I know there's always something good. But bad stuff, right, JV? There wasn't a whole lot of bad.
This was a good run of SmackDown and Raws overall.
Right.
I mean, even the Right to Censor stuff wasn't that bad. Like, it was actually, you know, probably some of their better stuff. Right. But I was digging to kind of find something for bad, but we'll get into that.
Right.
Really find anything.
Yeah, I found myself as I was watching the shows saying to myself that a lot of the things, not bad or ugly, but more like whatever.
Like, yes.
Not even like noteworthy.
Like, not a concern.
Right. You can't even say it sucks because it's just nothing. It's nothing bad about it, nothing good about it. It's just whatever. It's just there. So there's a lot of that, but we're not going to talk about that. All right, so we'll start off first talking about the good.
Well.
Yeah?
Well.
Yeah?
I don't know what integrity is, but that is some good shit.
All right!
All right, JV, you want to go first? What'd you have for good?
Well, my good was from Raw 411. on April 9th, 2001 in the greatest city in all the world, Boston, Massachusetts. And it's when Kurt Angle cuts his promo to start the show and does a fantastic primo job of taking shots at the fans of Boston. And he kind of hits them where it hurts. You know, we in Boston, we love our sports, and he starts attacking our sports history right from the get-go, taking shots at, you know, former players and coaches, the Roger Clemens of the world, the Bill Parcells, the Rick Pitinos, basically saying how he's not going to leave Boston, you know, unless he's champion, unlike, you know, the aforementioned coaches and players I just named. So,
yeah, they all left and got championships.
Yeah. Parcells didn't.
No, Parcells was done basically at that point.
Yeah, yeah. Rick Pitino didn't. He had to go to college. And
yeah, college. Yep.
But Roger Clemens did.
Yeah.
He ended up, yeah, he really showed us.
He did.
And Wade Boggs, and the list goes on and on. We don't want to touch that list. This century's treated us a lot better.
Yeah, that's a good segment. Tim Wakefield's in that segment too.
Yeah, yep.
It's funny, he's like pointing at Stone Cold's hat. And what I thought was funny about it, Stone Cold just turned heel, but he's like, Stone Cold, baby, right here, right here. Like, he probably doesn't even know what happened at WrestleMania.
Yeah, someone gave him a hat. Yeah,
right.
Well, hey, you want tickets to the show? Yeah, fuck it.
Yeah, so that's a good one there. And then he gets his ass kicked, too.
Scott. Yep.
It's Kane and comes
the fans
out.
Love that.
Yeah. Especially, you know, he's talking shit about Boston, so he's got to get his ass kicked after that.
Yeah, it just shows that even though he's not champion, he is still he's still interesting.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So I'll move on now. My good, and my good's related to what yours is. It's Kurt Angle. I mean, really, the best thing going on other than the Austin, Triple H, all that shit going on there is Kurt Angle related, or Kurt Angle, Chris Jericho related. Chris Benoit, all those guys, they're in the mix at this point. But there's so many different segments from the shows to point out. I'll just choose one, and that'll be the match from Raw 411, and that's Chris Benoit versus Chris Jericho. And Regal is the special referee. So that was a pretty good match to go back and watch. Benoit suplexes Regal, and Jericho hits a lion salt on him. So it's funny because it just ends up being Jericho and Benoit turning on Regal and kicking his ass, the referee. So I thought that was good.
They're having a good match, too.
Right, they were.
They decide to, yeah, because I did catch that one.
Yeah, because Regal cheap shots both of them. And then they're like, oh, fuck you, screw you. And then they just kick his ass. And they put on the Walls of Jericho and the crippled crossface combo. So Regal really, he takes it there. But like I said, in general, all the stuff going on with Benoit, Jericho, Regal, Kurt Angle, it's all good. There's just a series of matches every Raw and SmackDown where there's some combination of them being in matches. So good shit worth checking out. But let's now move on to bad. And I know JV said his bad was difficult. But
I don't have a bad.
All right, you don't have one. All right, but
no, I mean, if I was gonna pick one, I could go the first Raw we covered, the Perry Saturn and those guys, the Radicals and all that. I kind of tuned into that, and I guess that was kind of the worst. But I don't know. I didn't really have anything for bad, so I'd be stretching here to pick something.
Yeah,
do that.
Yes, it is tough.
It's got to come natural,
right?
Pick the good, bad, and the ugly. It's got to come naturally.
I hear you with that. I know, because so many of them are just, yeah, it's not that bad. It's just not that important. I did have a bad, but then I realized it made sense. So then I kind of changed my mind with it. So I'll just bring it up. It's not really a bad, but I thought it was bad. And it's during a tag team match. It's the Hardys. It's Jeff Hardy against Big Show. And this match is made by Commissioner Regal. And what happens is Jimmy Corderas is the referee. He gets hit by Big Show. that gets pushed by Big Show. And then all of a sudden, Lita moonsaults Big Show. And Jeff Hardy leg drops him off the top rope. Then Jeff hits a Swanton bomb on Big Show. And then all three of them pigpile onto Big Show. And the referee makes the three count. So I thought, that sucks. What the hell is that?
But, yeah, I hate that kind of
shit. So it was a fast count. It was a fast count, too, on Big Show. But, you know, what I missed when I saw the replay, I initially thought, oh, my God, that sucks. It's horrible. All these guys interfered in the match. You didn't do a DQ. And you let them pigpile. And he did a fast count on top of it. But it's Jimmy Corderas mad at the Big Show. So that's why he allowed for the Hardys to do that. So I'm going to stick with it. That's bad either way.
That sucks. Yeah, that's terrible.
That sucks. All right, so that's from SmackDown 84 from April 5th, 2001. And before we move on to the ugly, I do want to bring out that we did have a little towel-y clip for the good. We couldn't come up with a clip to play for the bad or even the ugly. So if you have suggestions of a sound clip that we could use before the bad, before we go off and talk about our bad segments and something for our ugly segments. So if you're creative and you have something that comes to mind for bad and ugly, send it over on Twitter and we'll check it out and see if it fits and we'll use it in the episode. So help us out. All right, let's get to the ugly. JV, we have the same ugly.
Yeah. So, oh, sorry.
All right.
Sorry about that. I had to cough there. Choking on some water.
But, well, it's so ugly it made you cough.
Yeah. Even just, you know, rethinking about it. So Shane McMahon is at he's in New York at Times Square. You know, he's coming fresh off the WrestleMania bout with his father. So he's sitting there with a fucking black eye, looking like shit. And it's just a very shitty scene. The audio's horrible. But in addition to that, there's like a very shitty WCW chant that he gets going. Yeah. And maybe I hated it more knowing where this lands as a, you know, where the WCW invasion lands. But it's like, dude, it's a forced cheer from the crowd. And you could so tell. They're like, WCW. No, it's awful.
No, it reminds me of? It reminds me of the time where it's at Fenway Park. And Larry Lucchino is like, let's go Red Sox. Let's go Red Sox. And he's trying to get the crowd to chant, let's go Red Sox. Do you remember that?
No.
Oh, man.
I'm glad I don't. It sounds hot.
Oh, you got to look it up. Let's go Red Sox. Let's go. It's so funny. Well, that's what it reminded me of, just trying to get a chant and it's not working. That's what Shane does here. His black eye's ugly. So, yeah, this whole thing's ugly. As you said, the audio blows ass. You had to freaking, like, really tune in to hear it. And it was like, oh, it sucks. And then the one thing that I did pick him up saying, you know, the one thing that was clear was that he's saying, oh, you know, WCW, things with WCW are shaping up very nicely. And we know they're not.
Yeah. We know it ends up pretty terrible.
Right. And, so that's what I had for my ugly, too. But, you know, just one other thing real quickly, because there wasn't a lot of bad for us, but here's another ugly. X-Factor debuts their new shitty entrance music. That shit was pretty ugly. That music blows that song. And that's it. That's our good, bad, and ugly for this week's episode. And that's it. So again, if you have a suggestion for what we can use for the bad and the ugly portion, or even if you have another one for the good, you know, maybe we can mix them up here and there. But send your suggestions to at BottomLineCast or at MPRU83 or even at John Van Damage. And JV is the one that's going to get those clips and put them in anyway. So just tweet it at John Van Damage at BottomLineCast.
Just bring it.
Yeah. All right. So let's head on now into the Bottom Line wrap up. All right, now it's time for the bottom line wrap-up. Let's start first with the house show rundown. And we have a couple. We have April 11th, 2001, Tallahassee, Florida. The Undertaker, Kane, and Chris Jericho will defeat Stone Cold Steve Austin, Triple H, and William Regal. And the match ends with Chris Jericho winning with the lion salt, winning after a lion salt. So Jericho is more often using that lion salt as a finisher at this point. Just like he beat Regal at WrestleMania, he does it here again with that lion salt. And then the next night, April 12, 2001, Pensacola, Florida, Kane and The Undertaker team up to defeat Stone Cold Steve Austin and Triple H by making a double pin after both Austin and Triple H are hit with the choke slam. And that's something we'll be getting into more next week, is the continuation or the build to their feud, Kane and Undertaker versus Triple H and Stone Cold, the two-man power trip. All right, let's now move on to our Oh Hell Yeah moment of the week. Oh Hell Yeah! JV, what do you have for Oh Hell Yeah?
So my Oh Hell Yeah moment of the week is SmackDown number 85, April 12, 2001. And it's the promo Stone Cold Steve Austin, gives to the crowd and everyone in the world about his epic beatdown, basically the night before the, not the night before. When was SmackDown? Thursdays, right? Yeah. So the Monday prior on Raw, of Leader and the Hardy Boys post-match. And then, he's just talking shit about JR, really, calling out JR for riding his coattails. And the reason why JR is where he is because of Stone Cold, and just how much of a badass and Stone Cold and heartless Stone Cold is in beating the shit out of Lita and hitting her with a ton of chairs and stuff. So this is really like Austin being a great heel, and this is just like an old school promo. Reminds you of like Terry Funk esque, Shane Douglas esque, the type of shit we've been covering in our ECW cast, on Extreme.
Yeah, good point.
This kind of reminds me of that throwback old school, heel.
Yeah, I like heel that promo. Yeah. I mean, I raved about it. Austin's awesome throughout this entire episode. So it's so tough to pick the Oh Hell Yeah moment because there was just so much good that came out of this episode. Yeah.
It was a toss up for me between that one and, his other promo, which I think was from the first Raw that we covered.
Yeah, that was a good one too. Shit.
Yeah.
All right. Well, my Oh Hell Yeah moment of the week is from SmackDown 84 from April 5th, and it's the interview and beatdown of Jim Ross. So just so many good things came out of that interview.
Yep.
Where, the whole thing of, I said DTA, don't trust anybody, especially Stone Cold Steve Austin. I never wanted to be a hero to these people. Whoever said that, all that shit. Also, the best friend shit, where he's like, you're saying because I turn up the voltage, you don't want to be my friend anymore. The whole thing where he's berating JR, look at your little cowboy hat, your little glasses, your stupid little belt buckle. Then goes on to kicking his ass. So that was some great shit, and just showed the crowd like, he's not turning back. He just turned on his best friend. So he's turned on us too, if he's turned on JR. So very symbolic is that JR is representing the audience. And it's almost like Stone Cold's kicking the audience's ass when he's beating JR's ass. So that's what I have for Oh Hell Yeah. And let's now move on to Oh Hell No.
Oh Hell No!
JV, what do you have for Oh Hell No moment of the week? I guess we kind of already said it, I would think, right? If the ugliest thing, the ugliest thing must be the Oh Hell No, right?
Yeah, but I was going to pick something all more specific to, what we covered on the Austin shit.
All right, cool.
And I would have to say it's the Deborah talking to Jim Ross and Austin throughout thing. Reason being is I thought we finally moved on from Deborah being involved in this feud and on TV, especially involved with Stone Cold. And this just, I get it. It does make JR. I felt bad for JR here, but I don't think it was needed. And I don't think they should be bringing Deborah back.
Yeah.
So that's my Oh Hell No.
Yeah, that's a good one. I did like that because of Stone Cold being the 80s bully in that scene. And Deborah was in some things. She was asked a few times, like, oh, Deborah, what do you think of Austin doing this? Blah, blah, blah. And those segments came in throughout the episodes. You probably noticed. But nothing more than like 30 seconds because she can't talk for more than 30 seconds. So I actually deleted a lot of that from our notes so I won't even have to talk about her. And I just left that one thing. So it's funny that you point out that one. Like, she shouldn't even fucking be here at all.
Yeah, get her out of here.
It was even in one of my notes that I deleted a section where it said, you know, Deborah doesn't barely say anything in this. And I put in parentheses, Deborah might as well just fuck off already. And that's really what I was trying to do, is like delete her from anything going on here. But I had to let that one stay in there. But what do I have for Oh Hell No? I'm gonna do what you're doing. Stick with the Austin stuff to see if there's anything that's Oh Hell No. And I mean, there's a whole lot of good. And I'm gonna have to go with Austin and Triple H's promo. And I did a lot of cutting the fat out of that too, so we didn't have to go on and on with what Triple H was saying. But Triple H has the mic for a while before he passes it off to Stone Cold,
which is the worst, and when he has the mic for too long.
And it's the promo that you chose for your Oh Hell Yeah is the same interview. It's just Triple H talks first.
Yep.
And that just went on for too long, and that's when he said the whole, "You're damn cold and I'm damn good and we're just damn unstoppable." That's Oh Hell No.
Yeah, it is. I tried to watch that too, because technically I don't have to watch it because it's not the Austin part, but I tried and I'm like, you know what? I hit the fast forward 10 seconds button probably 20 times just to get the fuck out from it.
All right, so that's our Oh Hell Yeah and Oh Hell No moments of the week. So let's now move on to our podcast pals. So you heard Alex during the break. Alex is the host along with his best friend Travis, and they host Talking Taker. So check them out on Twitter at Talking Taker, Talking Taker. And this week they are covering
Talking Tater Tots.
Talking Tater. With baseball coming back, they'll be talking taters, home runs. All right, so check out Talking Taker at Talking Taker. And this week they're covering TLC 2009, and it's the WWE Championship match. It's a chairs match, The Undertaker versus Batista. So check them out this week. They usually drop their episodes on Thursday nights or Friday mornings. So check out Talking Taker. Also, special shout out to Mike Mills of Booking the Territory. Check out his show, Booking the Territory, the unprofessional wrestling podcast, where they are covering NWA World Championship Wrestling episodes from 85 up to the point where they are now in 1989. This week, on Thursdays, as always, they are covering March 11th, 1989. Check out Booking the Territory, the unprofessional wrestling podcast. Also, check out Our Vantage Point, the retro wrestling podcast. This week is episode 185, and their up-and-comer that never came segment, they are covering Sam Houston, young Sam Houston. And this is the third week of their Royal Rankings for Best Talkers. And this week, the two names that were drawn for them to rank are Rowdy Roddy Piper and the Macho Man Randy Savage. And then they will also do a review in their final segment of the show of WWF Wrestling Challenge from September 23rd. 1990. So check them out, Joe Murata and Michael Quinn at Our Vantage Point, the retro wrestling podcast. Those episodes come out every Monday. Also, check out the latest from Jay Free on Free Your Geek. It's episode 91 with Casey Lynn, or Casey Line, which is ex-Mrs. Black Mamba. And they're talking about all things fantasy, Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones. They're going to talk video games. They talk about Call of Duty, live streaming on Twitch. Talk about the San Diego Comic-Con that begins tomorrow, July 22nd, or actually the day that this episode comes out, July 22nd. So check that out. It is Free Your Geek. And again, check out JV and I on the BTT, Booking the Territory, Patreon $5 tier. Go to patreon.com/bookingtheterritory. Check it out for a month. See if you like it. Sign up for the $5 tier. A lot of good shit from them. But also, JV and I's Extreme ECW Livecast. This past week, we released episode 27, where we are covering and watching along with ECW Hardcore TV, episode 57 and 58 from May 17th and May 24th, 1994. So please check that out. Give it a shot. If you like what we do here, you'll definitely like that. It's fun watch-along style. So check that out. All right, guys. Thanks for listening, as always. And I don't even want to ask, but I'll ask. JV, any final words?
No.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week, episode 81, the two-man power trip. So long.
And that's the bottom line. And as far as I'm concerned, this is over with, so get the hell out of here.
Little bit with the pain, and I bring, you know it's only the beginning.